a passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver, Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Ohm Times. For those of you who may be joining us for the first time, this is a live call-in show. If you are listening to it at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on a Thursday, if you're listening to a replay, well, you can go to My Dr. Kevin on Facebook, and the show will be posted, and you can comment. But if you're listening to it live, you have a golden ticket, young man, young lady, because you can call in and be part of the conversation. You can be heard. You can share. You can ask questions. And you would do this by calling 202-570-7057. Again, that's 202-570-7057. So feel free to come get your golden ticket punched. Share your thoughts and your ideas. Ask your questions. On the second Thursday of every month, I am blessed to have with me Reverend Lori Powers Otto. Lori was also my co-host for the last year of my TV show, Web of Light. I've known Lori for a long time, and she is an inspiring and motivating woman and is also an author. She joins me the second Thursday of every month so that we can do inspiring, motivating stories for you, our listeners. We call this Thursday Thoughtful Thursday because we want to invite you to be thoughtful, and we want to share people who are doing thoughtful things in the world. I think there is no shortage of negativity in the world these days, and I could be doing, or Lori and I could be doing this show 7 days a week, 365 days a year, because there's that much good out in the world that you may or probably don't ever hear about, because it seems like the bad boy of negative news gets the majority of the attention. Well, not on this show, not on this Thursday. We're slapping that bad boy down, and we're going to give you something to warm the cockles of your heart. Lori, welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Kevin. As always, I love being here on Thoughtful Thursday and sharing some good news.
You know, and there's only one thing better than sharing good news and highlighting people that are doing good things in the world. And do you want to know what that is?
What's that?
Being good news.
Yes.
Being the person that's going out and doing some good things in the world.
Yes. Yes.
So
I encourage everyone to do that.
Right now, we're in a world that has a lot of opportunities and challenges. And it has a lot of mixed messages in the world about, should you just put yourself first? Should you, you know, save yourself and let everybody else, you know, fall to the wayside? Or should we pull together and remember that there is one race and it's called humanity? And there may be tons of subcategories, but the first race we all belong to is the human race.
Yeah.
And it's such an oxymoron. Have you ever thought about that? Because humanity doesn't really race at all. It moves pretty slowly.
Good point.
Yeah. I mean,
gotta wonder
where it came from. Yeah.
Race, yeah.
I'm just kind of sort of wondering if we should, you know, call it the human unrace, not race. I would love to call it someday the human no more race, of no more racist race, but
right.
That being said, Lori and I, we try to bring stories together, and we post them on facebook.com/mydrkevin, so you can actually read the story. We also want to invite you to come be one of our heroes. We're always looking for heroes. I love this song. It's called Everyday Heroes. I don't know who did the original cover. I know that my girl Babs, love me some Barbara Streisand. I know my age is showing, but I just do.
Me too.
She did a cover of it and talking about everyday heroes and how there's everyday heroes. And it was like a little throwaway song for the most part in one of her other albums, a good 10 years ago, I think. But it is such a powerful song that talks about everyday heroes. And this is what we talk about, is these everyday heroes. And so if you know an everyday hero and you want to call in and share their story, obviously with some permission, or you don't give their full name, or, you know, let's be a little discreet here, you know, just to be respectful. But I think we all need to know how many everyday heroes there are out there. And I think we especially need to know that we can very quickly become an everyday hero just by being who we are, if we allow it to happen. What do you think?
I agree. I totally agree. I think we can all be a hero. And it doesn't have to be big things. You know, people always think heroes have to do, like, I know I wasn't going to say this, and this is a big thing. But just like my late cousin's stepson, who was a Marine, and he was the hero at that pizzeria shooting. He is the one that got shot and killed. And he was the hero, though, doing what he saw as just a small thing. Protecting, you know, the coworkers and the guests at their pizza place. He thought that was a small thing. He didn't think of that as being a hero, but that is absolutely a hero. Now, I'm not saying people go out and get killed, you know, but you can do small things like we'll talk about in some of these other stories today. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. I thought
it's make a difference.
And, you know, part of it is that I believe that human nature in of itself, that we were all born with inner heroes. And you see it in little kids, and you see it in people that haven't got terribly abused by the environment, the family requirements, their local religion, the media, all of those things where as soon as these bright little star children start showing up. Now, some children are born a little more aggressive than others. There's natures, there's personalities. And we all have our reason for being here and things we're here to do. But I think that the majority of people were born with an inner hero that gets weighed. Hello? Are you there? Did I lose you? Oh, I may have lost Lori.
Nope, I'm here. Sorry.
Okay, yep. But I think that we all have an inner hero, but it gets so weighed down with overthought and, you know, righteous thinking and all sorts of crap that we pile on it. And our poor inner hero is just literally suffocating in a load of externally imposed crap that says, I better not. Who am I? Why should I step up? Why should I say anything? Why should I do anything? Or I can't do anything. And that's all just programmed BS. Because we all can do something.
Yes, that's other people's fears being projected on you.
Well, you know, and we're giving other people's fears, you know, like our first little play toy that we were supposed to use as a walker to walk around. We started getting our parents' fears early on, and it all went downhill from there. One of those little toddler walkers out of control. So anyways. But I want our listeners truly, if you have an everyday hero in your life, let's shine some light on that star. Call in at 202-570-7057. Tell us the story that maybe is not going to make it onto ABC or CBS or CNN News. The one that maybe won't show up on your iPhone when you look for your news of the day little app. But that's a story that deserves to be told. Tell that story. Because, you know, I've been saying this a lot lately. And I know you're like I am, Lori. When we tell a story a lot, we know that the story is trying to tell us something. And but I think we could bring so much positive change in the world if people just heard other people's stories better, without judgment, without all of the crap, without all of the, yeah, well, what flag do you fly? What nationality are you? What gender are you? What orientation are you? What political party are you? Because as soon as you click any of those things that I disagree with, and I can dismiss your story, I don't have to hear it. If we could just have this flood of stories, I think we would watch humanity come back together, and maybe we could overthrow these Jekylls that just keep on making money off keeping us apart, because they know what they're doing. They're doing it intentionally. No one will ever convince me that they're not intentionally tearing apart the fabric of America for greed.
That's
jealousy,
how they can
power. Go ahead.
I was just saying that's how they control us, by keeping us separated. They know if we band together, there's, you know, the world can know peace. But right, greed, pettiness, small-mindedness, that's what they feed on. And if they can fill us with fear and doubt and hate, they win.
Yeah, well, I got news for you, sister. They ain't winning right now, not on the Dr. Kevin show. We got their number. Bunch of losers.
Yes. Yes.
So anyway, did I tell you that somebody put me on fire today? Can you tell?
No. Yeah, I can see. Here, anyway.
Here.
I can hear you.
Well,
yeah.
As you know, this last weekend was my 60th birthday.
Yay! Happy birthday! Woo!
Thank you. No, and I had a goal, and the goal was that I was going to be sexy at 60. That, you know, I posted out 60 never looked so good. And I showed, and I did that little thing of pictures of what I looked like 2 years ago at this time of year, last year, and then this year, 75 pounds lighter, in much better shape. And I put that out there.
You do. You look fantastic. You did a great job. And I'm glad that you started posting it, because what an inspiration to so many. You know, I mean, we both know a ton of people. Bazillions of people. And you have inspired so many of them. Because you keep with it. You're doing great. You look fantastic. You seem like you feel much better.
You know, it's funny, because I have a video out there, and if I think about it and I find the brain space and the time, I may post it under this radio, under the posting for tonight's radio show. I don't know if you saw it, but it's the one I did called Birthday Goals. It was a video that I just think I put out on my birthday, and it's about me talking about why I do birthday goals and the importance of doing birthday goals. And you know, sometimes these goals, when done reasonably, thoughtfully, and for yourself, like New Year's Eve goals, because I'm lucky. Yeah. I was born on the 4th of July.
Yeah.
We all know what that means. So, you know, I get to do it January and July. I mean, what a more perfect, could you have a more perfect breakup of the year?
Exactly.
But it's the why. What are your goals? Why? What is that goal going to feel like? What is it going to do? Why do you want it? You know, and I had some people that actually gave me a hard time about, well, you know, you know, the hard time that the quote unquote a spiritual person, spiritual teacher, and blah 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 blah, should put out that his goal is to be sexy at 60. And I'm like, and what dysfunctional spirituality did you come from?
Right. Yeah, I don't understand why that would even be a thing.
You know, I had somebody want to know if I was having trouble in my marriage. I was like, no, my marriage is fabulous. It's one of the best things in my life. You know, kind of like the inference was I getting so skinny so I could have more options or move on? Like, you know, like a married person doesn't have to be sexy. I was just kind of like, oh my God. I mean,
because of that mentality.
How? I mean, you've been married how many years?
The 38.
You've been married 38 years.
38.
When?
In October. You know, my anniversary, same day as your anniversary.
Oh, that's right. God. Yeah. Part of the brain is still trying to catch up with me. Sorry about that. we have the same wedding date. How could I forget that? But, you know, you've been married 38 years, and you are still one very attractive, sexy woman. And you take care of yourself from a perspective of being healthy, of taking care of yourself in a way that is somewhat physical, but is also that you take care of yourself emotionally and mentally and spiritually. And I'm assuming you feel good about how you look. I mean, you walk in the door and you turn heads. Doesn't mean anything besides the fact that you love yourself enough to take care of yourself, right?
Exactly. I love myself enough to care for myself and value myself. And hey, let's face it, I got a sexy husband. I got, you know, I want to, you know, now, keep the playing field equal. We're both, you know. I do know a lot of people who get married and then they stop trying. And then they wonder why their marriage fails. I know this is supposed to be a happy thing. But, you know, it takes just a little bit of effort. But mostly it takes self-love. If you love yourself, you're going to take care of yourself. And there is nothing wrong with being sexy at 60. I mean, Bruce is going to be 60 soon. And let me tell you, he is sexy.
We're going to be right back where we're going to further inspire and motivate you and teach you all how to be sexy at 60 here on the Dr. Kevin Show.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
A social distancing tip.
While the CDC urges you to avoid close contact, like hugging or shaking hands, there are other non-physical ways to say hello. Wave, wink, use sign language, salute, smile, give the peace sign, throw up an air high five, do jazz hands. Remember, stay a minimum of 6 feet or 2 arms length away from others, and stay home if you can. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show for Thoughtful Thursday with one of the most thoughtful people I know, Lori Powers Otto. So we should probably move into some of the stories. But remember, we are here to share stories that inspire, that motivate, and to highlight some what we're calling, what I like to call, everyday heroes. And if you have an everyday hero, you feel free to call in and share with us what this, you know, share this story's, this hero's story at 202-570-7057. That's 202-570-7057. If you're listening to this as a replay and not listening to it live, you could still, you know, obviously you're not going to want to go on forever, but you could still post something on facebook.com/mydrkevin under tonight's radio show about your everyday hero. And remember, the second Thursday of August, Lori and I are going to be back here doing this again. So we'll still be looking for everyday heroes. So if you have somebody that you know and you go, well, I don't want to tell their story without their permission or whatever, get their permission. That number will still work next month on the second Thursday of the month, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Thursday, the second Thursday of the month. One last thing I want to say about the whole sexy at 60 thing. I know I sound like I'm going on and on, but part of this is it wasn't, and I explained this and I realized that I had to explain it to a couple of people, and I realized how twisted we are here. Is it wasn't about being sexy for anyone else. My husband loves me whether I'm larger or smaller. He's told me that. In fact, he goes, "Yeah, you might be getting a little too small. You know, I don't like my men too thin." So I didn't do it for him. I didn't do it to attract somebody else's attention. I did it for me. You know, for me to feel sexy, which I define as a feeling of full of life. I'm feeling really good. And to me, it was about knowing that I would be happier, healthier. I'm going into my 60s. This is where health issues can start to show up if you don't take care of yourself, if not earlier. That I have more energy, that I'm getting more done. I mean, up at 4 again this morning because I couldn't sleep. Another 4 to 5 hour night sleep. Because my body is up and it wants to be living and it wants to be out there and it wants to be in the world. And all of those things is what makes somebody sexy is their love of themselves and their love of living and their love of being in the world. And I don't care what the physical package is wrapped around it. In my case, I wanted a physical package that could be absolutely as healthy as possible because I'm going into that time of my life where the body does not always bounce back as well as it used to. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And that's what I, when I work with clients, because I did a lot of health and wellness clients, and that was the whole point. Do it for yourself and for your future so that you're happy and healthy in yourself and you have more support to be healthy in the future. So yeah, you make total sense. And that's why I say you're inspiring so many because you're giving them permission to take care of themselves and to love themselves enough to do so.
Okay. Miss Lori, will you introduce your first story?
Yes, because we were talking about everyday heroes. I found this story online, and it apparently was put up by a gentleman named Steve Farmer under Love What Matters, hashtag Love What Matters. So Steve goes to work one day, he rides a bike, and he forgot his pass, so he had to lock his bike up outside Cannon Street Station. But when he got out of work that night at 6, he came back to just find the cut lock and no bike. He, of course, resigned himself to the fact that he's never going to see his bike again. And he went, you know, and asked the station if they had cameras so that they could see who stole it. You know, he could at least make a police report. And a guy comes waving at him and asking him to put the code into his cut lock. Now, why? Because he wanted to make sure it was his lock. Once Steve was able to open his lock, the guy says, "I have your bike." And he had a smile, you know, a mile wide. And his name is Abdul Namib. And I pray I pronounced that correctly. And he works for Southeastern Railways. And he was on break and he saw the guy cut the bolt on the lock. And he challenged the guy to give it back. And, you know, so then he got the bike from the guy and he took it and secured it. And then he waited 4 hours for Steve to get out of work. Now he's off work. He got off work. 4 hours he waited for the rightful owner to come back. And I'm telling you, just like Steve said, the world needs way more Abduls out there. I mean, that's an everyday hero. He didn't have to do any of that. Wasn't his bike. He could have just turned and walked away, but he didn't. He cared enough. And so Steve got his bike back. I mean, those things inspire me to be a better person.
Well, and one of the things, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, what do you think?
Well, one of the things is that struck me is how many people, if you told the story in reverse order, in a slightly reversed order, and introduced the name of the hero, would they have immediately assumed he was the one who stole the bike?
Oh, that makes me so sad. Didn't even think that way. You know?
Well, it's funny because I think that way, and this kind of, you know, there's a story I have, which I didn't get around to posting because I saw it, I read it, and then, you know, I got disrupted, and when I went back to find it again, I couldn't find it. So if I do search it on the web, I will, we'll put it out. But one of the things that has been very up for me is how many incorrect assumptions we make based sometimes even on a person's name. You know, we assume that means what ethnicity they are, what gender they are even. We make all of these things that then classifies them into little bot places, and we fill in the gaps of the story. And we do this because we're trained to do this. We're trained, you know, there's a song out of a 1950s musical, Salt Pacific, "You must be carefully taught." Do you know the song?
I've seen South Pacific several times, so probably, but it's not coming to mind right now. Sing a little for me.
You must be carefully taught to hate the people your parents hate is one of the defining lines. It's when the guy is talking about prejudice and that how all kids are taught to hate. That we teach them to hate, and we could choose to teach them not to hate. Do you remember the song now?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. I think that's a fabulous story. And I think the next time somebody, you know, wants to post or wants to say or make a nasty comment about those people and they need to go back home, we need to tell them about this guy. Because this is home, or this could be home. This is just as much his home as anyone else's if he's an American.
Right.
So, you got another one?
I do. And this one goes to race, and obviously with everything going on. There was a black man, you probably heard about this, that he was afraid to walk in his own neighborhood because look at all the stories. What is there, like four in the last couple months of black men in their own neighborhoods being attacked or killed? There was a black woman, some guy chased her in his car. She was in her own car in her own neighborhood. So this gentleman was afraid to walk around his own neighborhood. So he somehow that got out to the people, and this is in Tennessee. And so he had shared his fears, you know, with some people that he knew, and they put it out there. And hundreds of people, mostly white, came to walk with him around his neighborhood so that he could walk in his own neighborhood without being afraid. And these are everyday heroes. These are people that didn't do it for the glory or the fame. They did it because it was the right and good thing to do. I love people like that. I get emotional.
It's okay. You should get emotional. This should be touching all of our emotions that any American simply based on the color of his skin should be afraid to walk in his own neighborhood is a sad and pathetic comment about our country. And the fact that these people showed up and said, hey, you're part of our community, that should make you happy. And for me, it makes me happy and it makes me sad. It makes me sad that how much of this stuff is coming out now because of the advent of video camcorders and phones. And these things are getting, recorded.
Right. Right. But people are stepping up. People are recognizing what was hidden all along. And, one way to get so people aren't afraid to walk in their own neighborhood is for the neighbors to get to know each other. And that's happening. Neighborhoods are coming together so that they can keep each other safe. And that's a beautiful, wonderful thing to come out of this. And I hope it keeps, continues to grow and no one is afraid to walk in their own neighborhood. So tell us your story, Doctor.
So my story and my last thing I want to say about your story is that there are more and more, we have been kept separated. We have been kept at each other's throats. We have been manipulated into an us and them environment, very, very carefully orchestrated, with the full permission of media and corporate America. And that top 1%, which I recently went to a talk, went to a presentation about what the wealth gap really looks like. And I thought I was going to be physically ill.
Yeah.
People that have no idea how truly bad it is. Unless they're living in it. But this again is these everyday heroes who take out their phone. I mean, there was one that I saw and, this woman immediately started taping this guy and he was attacking this family because they were Asians and yelling things at him. Yeah. But, but that server got in his face and threw him out and didn't care if he took his money back off the table to pay for his drink. She didn't care. She just wanted him out. That is not how you treat people, she said. And she, in a way, to me, is like an everyday hero.
Yeah.
She didn't have to say anything.
Nope.
She could have gone and got the manager. She could have kept quiet. And I saw just the side of her, but I mean, I saw the very edge, but she did not look at She did not look like she was a person of color or that she was Asian. I did not have that impression at all, but she had a mask on. I could be wrong. But these are one of those everyday hero things that we really want to encourage people to do is call out the haters. Call out the haters. Don't put yourself at risk. We're not asking anybody to get beat up for a stranger, but be willing to call out the strangers. And in this day and age, I'm thrilled at the number of people that have lost their jobs because they went on video being really hateful, spiteful people, and it got posted and it got repeated. And I just think that that's great. So my story. So there was this man, and I cannot remember his name because I could not find the story again. If I find the story, and maybe you saw the story, but there was these two police were arresting this person of color, and it was on the ground, and the guy was really like struggling and flailing around. In the story, it indicated that they thought he was on some kind of substance, and that does happen, you know. Whether you're a person of color or not, there are plenty of people that are on plenty of substances of all kinds. And it was, this man who was just like passing by, like he stopped to get gum at the store, and it was also a man of color. He went to help the police try to de-escalate the situation. He wasn't a counselor, wasn't what he did for a living, but he just. And the guy and the police officer is saying, I'm only on his back. You know, like I'm not doing a chokehold. I'm not, you know, like I'm not, you know, and I feel bad sometimes for some of the police that are good police because there's plenty of them out there. There are a ton of them out there. And but they're getting the short stick by the bad ones and by the police union that defend the bad ones. And get them reinstated and get them forgiven and get them out on technicalities instead of saying, you did what? And on video, and we saw it, and we're going to get you out with a loophole. Oh, sure, because we're your union, so we'll do that. Just set me right over the moon. But anyways, because that's happening. Yeah. So he goes over and he helps the two police officers. He gets down on the ground, laying on his stomach. This is the picture I saw. And he starts talking to the guy. He says, bro, calm down. Just breathe. It's going to be okay. You know, they're going to handcuff you, but it's going to be all right. And he de-escalates it enough that they can handcuff him. They don't have to hurt him. There's no police brutality. The cops thank him. But here was an everyday hero.
Yes.
And went in, and one of the things, before I get your feedback or additional comments on the story, is this is another trickery of our media and our government by using terms like defund the police. There are a few places that are thinking about getting rid of their police and starting all over again. And some of it is because the police have a lock hold through unions on the place, and the only way to do it is to dissolve the whole police force and reestablish it some other way, you know, and that's also a sad statement. But when people defund the police is the most horribly inept description of what a lot of people are asking you to do, what's asking to be done.
Right.
Yes, take some money from the police budgets so that they can't afford tanks and Uzis and grenade launchers and throwers, and put it into social workers and mental health counselors. But most places that are having this conversation aren't about the elimination completely of the police. It's about a redistribution of assets that would take off of the police's plate things that police officers are not trained to do. They're not trained to be social workers. They're not trained to be counselors. They're not trained to be therapists. So anyways, you'll share your thoughts when we get back. We'll be right back here on the Dr. Kevin Show.
conscious connection. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million, and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
911, what is your emergency? Where's the wounds?
911, what's your emergency?
Please help my son shot his brother.
911, what's your emergency? 911, please state your emergency.
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns.
It wasn't locked.
Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the last segment of the Dr. Kevin Show here on Om Times. We are at the second Thursday of the month of July, and second Thursdays mean Thoughtful Thursdays with Lori Powers Auto and myself sharing thoughtful actions and everyday heroes and things to inspire and motivate you. So, Lori, did you have any comments or things you'd like to share about my story?
Well, you know, I've been thinking about it. You know, I understand why the gentleman being arrested was terrified. I get it. You know, any time a person of color is approached by an officer, their immediate response, most of them, is fear because you don't know. And I have 4 mixed-race nephews, 2 mixed-race nieces. So I kind of have an idea of how it can be terrifying. I love that these cops were not doing anything wrong, and this gentleman stepped up to help them, because there are so many way more wonderful police officers in this country than there are bad. Unfortunately, the bad, like in any other job or section of life, takes the spotlight. But we need to remember most police officers are just wonderful people trying to protect their communities. They just want to go home and love their families. And I love that this gentleman was able to, that the police officers accepted his help, but also, you know, and that he just took it upon himself to help with the situation. And if the man that was arrested was on something, I hope he got the help he needs. You know, so that's a win, you know, all the way around. So everybody comes out for the better of it. You know, and I love that because of all the tension, more police departments that I know of are reaching out to their communities to strengthen their relationships through community programs. I agree with you. I hate the term defund police. I've had this conversation with many. It's totally inaccurate for what the majority of people want to do. Most people do not want to get rid of the police departments. They just want to give them better tools, not militarize them, but give them better tools. Give them more access to social workers and doctors and nurses and psychologists and all those people that they need when you have a person that drugged out of their head. Or you come across like the one man who was autistic, and the officers didn't understand that he was autistic or had autism. I'm sorry, I have a friend that doesn't like the term autistic. He has autism, so he's not going to react differently. And as someone who has a nephew, I have a very large family. I have a nephew with autism, so I worry that he may not always be able to communicate his what's going on in his head. You know, so I like your story. I love that everything worked out well, and I do support restructuring some of the police departments, not all of them. I happen to love my police department; think it's wonderful. But that's my take on your story.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because it's ending up becoming another us and them battleground issue where half the people or more that are talking on one side or the other of it don't really understand the nature of it, and nobody wants to hear each other, and everybody wants to make it. I mean, the church that Jeff and I go to, we go up to the Concord Church, Unitarian Universalist Church in Concord, and they had on their billboard, you know, something about Black Lives Matter. And somebody went and spray painted all over it and did vandalism. And I'm like, this is the act of an ignorant person.
Right.
This is a person that doesn't want to hear the story, doesn't want to have any empathy of what the other part of it, I don't get this. They could have reached out to anybody in the church and said, I don't understand this. Help me understand why you would on your church want to put Black Lives Matter. Not that the Unitarian Universalist Church is the only church that has that on it, because there are churches in many faiths these days that have some version of it. And our church in Nashua, you usually go to, has a big banner at the front of the church hanging right there. But somebody from the community came and cleaned it before anybody from the church could.
Right.
And didn't ask. I didn't like make a big deal out of it. As far as we know, was not a member of the church. It was just somebody in the community that was horrified, you know, and then 2 days later it happened again. And it's like, can't we start with, let me understand the problem. Let me understand the problem. Let me not jump out. Let me see if I can talk about it intelligently, that I can understand it, you know? So anyways, give me another story. It's all my fault. I take blame. We're doing a lot of philosophizing on this show, and so let's see if we get another good, inspiring, motivational story. Lori, you're up.
Well, I'm going to change the tune, so the direction, just so that people know this is not a one-note show. We are very positive, and I know I've talked about this group before, but I have to give them kudos. New Hampshire Litter Crew. I happen to know the founder. He's a wonderful, wonderful young man. And he and a bunch of people got together, and they go around the state of New Hampshire picking up litter. These is another example of everyday heroes. They go to the ocean. They go to the parks. They go to neighborhoods. And they pick up trash. They don't ask for anything in return. They just do it because it needs to be done. And they care about the planet, and they care about our neighborhoods, and they care about the people that live in those neighborhoods. And I find that incredibly inspirational. I like to tell myself they got the idea from reading my book, but I don't know if that's true or not.
And that book title would be?
We Can Save Her, Mother Earth, Climate Change, and Us, which is not all about climate change. It's about things like what Litter Crew is doing, and it is, you know, some about the climate change, obviously, but the little things that we can do, like I had a neighbor in my neighborhood that just walked around the block one day and picked up all the trash she found just because it needed to be done. And, you know, go ahead, Kevin, I'm sorry.
Oh, no. And, you know, no, and these are, again, sometimes it can just be little things. It can be a little thing that makes a huge difference, and it role models that you care. You care about the environment, or you care about people all being treated equally and humanely and fairly and things like this. And for some reason, when you said that, my church in Nashua, New Hampshire, the Unitarian Universalist Church, just approved a drop-off, a free garden. I'm not going to remember the name of it, but, you know, if anybody's interested, they can definitely reach out to me through Facebook. But what they've done is they've created a place where anybody in the congregation or anybody anywhere that has a home garden that is producing more than they can comfortably eat can come donate it. And then they're running a free giveaway farmers market for the local neighborhood that they're in where there's a lot of need.
Wow, that's wonderful.
Yeah, and so you're like, well, what can I do? Well, you know, you just talked the other day that, you know, you're probably going to have to throw out a whole bushel of tomatoes because the tomato crop is so good. Get in your car and drive down to somebody where some child who's, you know, living in an area where, you know, they may be living on subsidies, or they may not get a chance to have a homegrown tomato. They may have never even had a homegrown tomato. What a difference it would make for them. And you're sitting there, you know, with your bushel of tomatoes saying, what can I do? Get in the car. Find it. There's so much going on in little groups through churches or organizations or associations like this one you were talking about, the litter people.
Litter Crew, yep.
The Litter Crew. And, you know, and if you're trying to teach, if you have a, you know, 8, 9, 10-year-old, even an early teenager, I mean, it could be any age, but I'm just saying, where you're trying to give them some values, where you want to teach them to care and be a good person in the world and do good things, then you can say to them, hey, you know what? Next Saturday, we're going to go volunteer at the Litter Crew together. We're going to have a mom and daughter, or a dad and daughter, or a dad and son date, whatever. We're going to spend some time, and we're going to pick up some litter, and we're going to chat about it. And that is huge.
Yes. Yeah, it doesn't
engage.
Cost. Right. Yeah.
And
go ahead.
Yeah. No, and you know, you want to get them where they're still, where it's still kind of cool and special to go out and do something with mom or dad. And
yeah,
then you have to make the, and then you have to make the time to, and then you have to make the time to do it and say, you know, well, maybe there's a report due at the office, but you know what? I have a family and this is my weekend and that's my priority.
Amen. Right there, I think you hit on something very important that I hope more, and I see more families doing, but I hope even more do, is to realize the family's the priority, and doing things like this, you know, that doesn't cost you a lot of money. It just costs you a couple hours on, you know, on a weekend or whatever. And there are groups like this all over, so people can go on their you know, local internet and look for these groups to join. But it builds not only your family, but it builds your community, and it instills wonderful values in your family, in you and your family. I agree. Everybody should be doing this.
And here's a little incentive for my parents that are thinking, my life is so busy and I'm already doing so much, and you know, and then I took the kid for ice cream. Doesn't that count? You know, and you know that they're out there and they're tired and they're, you know, there's more things to do than hours in the day, especially if you have two or three kids. But here's your real incentive. If you give this kid these kind of values of integrity and service, remember, they choose your nursing home.
Yeah.
Think about this. Think about the song Cats in the Cradle about the father who never had time for his son. And then the man gets old and he retires, and now the son has no time for the father.
Right.
You know, that's always, yep, such a powerful song. And so when you teach your kids time and value and you invest in them in good works and things that they can do, that leads to them doing those things with and for you as you age. Lori, I will see you next week because we have our astrology show next week with Planetary Influences. Yes. Tune in next week with Rob Stewart, Lori, and myself as we see what's coming up in the time of Leo and hear the rest of my solar return chart here on the Dr. Kevin Show.